Amen. Wasn't that good just to worship together? And I love hearing all the adult voices, but the better voices are the kids. So if you're a kid here, raise your hand. Can I see all the kids? Just raise your hand. Loud and proud. Look at these kids. So we intentionally decided for our Good Friday service and for Sunday morning to have you kids in this room. You know why? Because this weekend is a celebration, not just for adults. It's a celebration for everybody. And it's a celebration of God initiating with us to bring us into his family. So we just thought, you know what? We need to celebrate as a family. So young to old. So if you hear kids chit-chatting in the background or someone's crying, it's okay. Maybe if they cry for 5 minutes nonstop, you might take them outside, just comfort them, get them a cookie, something like that. It'll help me. But I do have 5 kids of my own. I've had lots of crying babies. I'm not that distracted by them, but I'm trying to help out the rest of you in the room that may be distracted by that. All right, but we're excited about today. Now, throughout the last few weeks, we've been going through this series about the covenants of God and really looking at how this is a God of the covenant. He is a promise keeper, and he's been consistent in his nature in keeping his promises. Right? All of us have made a promise that we haven't kept. You may think, oh, I don't know about that. No, you for sure did, at least when you were a kid. Like, yes, I will make my bed, Mom, and then it's not made. So right there, you just broke a promise, you sinned, okay? but God does not break promises. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. And so I just want to give a quick reminder to us of some of the major covenants that God made in the Old Testament. You have the covenant with Noah, right? Noah who built the ark and the world flooded. God enters into a covenant with Noah and all living creatures, promising to never flood the earth again. So guess what, church? No matter what anyone says or any scientist, the earth will never flood again like that. Because if it does, then God is a complete liar and you throw the whole Bible out. So I'm just telling you, God keeps his promises. It doesn't mean there won't be floods, but not the entire planet flooding underwater. There's a covenant with Abraham. God promises Abraham a land, descendants, and a blessing. This blessing promised to Abraham would extend through him to all the peoples of the earth in Genesis 12. It talks about you were blessed to be a blessing. If you ever heard that phrase before, that's where that comes from. God blessed Abraham, but not just for you, but for you and your descendants and all throughout the world. Because as we'll see today, eventually through that line and those descendants, Jesus would come. You have the covenant with Moses. This is the covenant God establishes with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai after he led them out of the Egyptian slavery. And with this covenant, God supplies the law that is meant to govern and shape the people of Israel in the promised land. This is where you have, you know, Exodus, that story, then Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all these different laws and the Ten Commandments woven in. And God says, I'm going to give you guys a land. He promised to Abraham. So Jerusalem, that surrounding area, Israel, that part of land, which was the land of Canaan, God promised that to them, to the Jewish people. And that covenant came there on Mount Sinai. Then you have the covenant with David. I'm going to read this scripture here, 1 Chronicles 17, starting verse 11. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before you. But I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Here's a covenant God makes with David, but who's he talking about? He's talking about David. One day, Jesus will come from your line. This unconditional covenant made between God and David, through which God promises David and Israel that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from the lineage of David, from his family tree, and from the tribe of Judah, and would establish a kingdom that would endure temporarily. Just kidding, just making sure you wait. That would endure forever. Forever. There is no end game there. It is forever. It is continuous. I love Easter weekend because it's about celebration, right? We're celebrating, and celebrating keeps us connected to the story. Celebrating keeps us connected to the past. It's what we do for birthdays, right? It's what we do for weddings, for anniversaries. Celebrating is acknowledging longevity, 10, 20, 50, 100 years. Celebrating includes laughter and tears. Celebrating is remembering who we are, where we have come from, and what has impacted our lives. Celebrating helps us take a deep breath and reflect. Celebrating causes us to pause. Don't we need that in America? And remember, celebrating is universal. It's in our DNA. Every tribe, every tongue, and every nation on planet Earth and every age knows how to celebrate. This morning, I woke up to see the sunrise. I went out to our treehouse we built, and I got to sit on the deck and watch the sunrise come up over the trees this morning. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, this is the same sun that set on you that Friday night when you were crucified. It's the same one. It's the same one, still burning, 2,000 years later. It's the same sun that set that night when they took you off the cross and put you in the tomb. It's the same sun that rose that Saturday morning and everyone's discouraged, a bit confused, maybe hopeless or scared out of their minds. Because their king, their Messiah, their Savior, who had just rode in a week prior and on this beautiful, nice, tiny little colt, and they're all waving palm branches saying, he's here, the king, the Messiah. Yes, he's dead. That same sun saw the darkest hour in human history. That same sun rose and set on a day of rest when Jesus was in the tomb on the Sabbath. And then that same sun rose. That sun I saw this morning, if any of you saw the same one this morning, that's the same sun. That sun has seen all the good and all the bad, the darkest of days and the evilest of days in world history, the same sun God put in motion years ago. That sun rose this morning, and it got me reflecting on that same sun that rose when Mary and the others and disciples saw the tomb. That same sun witnessed the most impactful 3 days in human history, I would argue. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ are the most significant days in human history, in my opinion. Because without it, we are all doomed. There is no hope. We might as well just have the best life we can and be greedy and selfish and destroy people and make as much money as we can and do what we can and fill ourselves with candy and a bunch of other fun things that we think will meet us in the end. We might as well just live for ourselves if this didn't happen, right? But instead, we're not living for ourselves. We're living for him. A common phrase we use around here, you may have heard before, is we want to live for him and them. Notice in that statement, there's nothing about me. Him and them. That's very un-American. That's very not worldly. Well, you're going to live your life for who? For you, right? Like, what you can do, what's about you. No, it's for him and them. Like, that's the story of Easter. God sending his own son because he loves us so much. He loves so much, he sent him to die for us, to be buried, and to come up from the grave. So I'm going to read John 20 here, the whole chapter. So if you got your Bibles, I'm reading from the NIV version. If you got a different version, that's okay. Doesn't matter. I'm going to read from John 20 because I just want to take us in to the resurrection story again this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels, kiddos, two angels, like real ones, not from some Disney movie or something, real angels. And when you see them, I think they're pretty fierce and pretty awesome and extravagant. So they see two angels, so they knew something was going on. So just a word to you kids, if you ever see an angel, something's up. It's not a normal day. They saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" I might love that. I mean, first angel interaction, just, why are you crying? It's like compassion, understanding. It's like, hey, we want to be like Jesus, but hey, it can't help to want to take some notes from angels too. Compassion on this woman. She says, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they had put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. I mean, whoa, what a moment. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. I mean, that's great. I mean, just right there. Just quick side note. If you ever thought Jesus was trying to look super dapper and cool and hit, like, you're the gardener guy. I mean, this is awesome. This is the simplicity, the gloriousness of God. But in the simplicity in human form, he chose to make him plain. Plain looking. Oh, I love it. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Oh, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands where he'd been pierced, his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Notice, Jesus in this statement says, "Peace be with you." He says, "I'm going to be sending you. And receive the Holy Spirit." You know when it's God? If you're ever wondering, man, I wonder if God's in the room, if I sense God's presence, like, is he around? Is he with me? Is there peace with you? Like, real peace. And these guys were scared and fearful and not sure what's going on. And all of a sudden, Jesus brought peace into the room. Many times people have said, "I put my faith in Jesus Christ because," and when I did, "I experienced such peace I had never experienced, touched, thought of in my life." Can anyone give me an amen? I mean, has anyone else felt that peace? It's like, whoa. And why is that peace there? He's saying, "Peace be with you. I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Encouraging, admonishing them, you've got to do as I have done. I have forgiven you. You go and forgive. I have loved you. You go and love. Because I'm sending you as the Father has sent me. Therefore, I need you to be a disciple of me. He's wrapping up the whole gospel right here. Bring peace to people. Bring the Holy Spirit to them. Forgive them. Love them. Send them. Empower them. This is the gospel. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was with the disciples, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Now I want you to tune in right here at the very end here. We're about to get the band up here. We're about to wrap it. I want you to tune in right here. This is what I want you to catch. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, this is Thomas, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Can I just say, I believe that we still live in a world. We live in a nation. We live in a state. We live in a culture where most people say, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I put my finger, unless I put my hand in his side, unless, hey, I will not believe. Unless you show me scientific evidence, unless you show me the signs and wonders that can't be disproven by medical, unless you show me that really did it, unless, can I tell you, we live in a nation of unless. Unless this, unless that, unless I get married, God, unless you heal me of this cancer, unless if you do this, then I will maybe, if you do this, it's, we are playing a conditional game with an unconditional love. He has said, "I'm giving you everything. The only thing I'm saying is just come to me. My love is for everyone. My forgiveness is for everyone." But guys, we are more like Thomas than we would want to admit. We use the word doubting Thomas about stuff. Can I just say, I think he's the norm. I think it's rare. It's rare. We know this, y'all. It's rare to not have a bunch of preconditions to trust and believe. Let me put it this way. Do you naturally assume the best of people or the worst? If you naturally assume the worst, you're probably a lot more like Thomas. Until you prove me all these different things, and I'm going to just think you're a terrible person. I don't really know how you can build relationships like that. It's not going to go very far. We want to be a people of faith. So Thomas says, unless these things happen, unless I can actually touch it and see it, even though he's been walking with Jesus, he's included in the inner circle, he knows the other disciples, he's still saying, "Yeah, I don't know, man. Not sure. I mean, Jesus, this is cool and all. I mean, you're here, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of ghost. I'm not sure." And I'm just saying, I'm not judging Thomas. I'm a lot like Thomas. But I don't want to be. I don't want to be like him. I want to be like this. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas with them. So just pause. Somebody's going to catch that. I don't believe. A week later, he's in the house again, and Thomas is with him. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. So now we got one of those miracles, like, oh, hold on. How'd you get to that wall? How'd you do that? That's some sort of magic trick? How'd that happen? He came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, here it is. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Can I just tell you that Thomas doubted. Week later, in the midst of his doubt, Jesus knew that doubt. You know what he chose to do? He didn't come to Thomas and say, "Thomas, shame on you. Shame on you, Thomas. You didn't believe like the rest of them. Shame on you. You're out. You're out, pal. Forget it. One and done, Thomas. Strike three." No. What do you do? "Hey, man, I get the doubt. You know what I'm going to do for you? Give me your hand. You know what I'm going to do for you? Give me your hand." It doesn't say he did that with other people. He singled him out. He showed him mercy. He showed him love. He demonstrated grace, which is who he is. He is the embodiment. He is full of grace and truth. That is Jesus. Then Jesus told him, verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But church, both are included in the kingdom. If you need to touch his side, then ask him. Say, Jesus, I want to, but I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time believing that you really are the Son of God. I'm having a hard time believing you really can forgive me for everything I've done. I'm having a hard time believing because someone close to me just died, or this thing's happened, or life is hard, or I lost my job, or things are crazy. I'm having a hard time. I want to, but I don't want to lie either. I don't want to pretend, Jesus. And I just want to say, if you're here this morning, you say, man, I want to believe and I want to follow, but I'm going to need a little something extra. He's okay with that. He's good with that. He was good with it then. He's good with it now. My encouragement, just ask him. Jesus, I need a sign. Anyone ever ask Jesus for a sign? I have. He may come through that hour, the next day, the next month, the next year. I don't know. Jesus comes through. Are you looking though? Are you listening? Sometimes he comes through, we miss it. For those in the room though, I want you to be encouraged this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, I know Jesus. I am walking with him. I love him. I know him. He is my Lord and Savior. So kiddos, this goes for you too. You know what the Bible says? If you believe in Jesus without seeing him, which last I checked, he wasn't hanging out here at Antioch on a Sunday morning, like physically. That ended. That's why he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's why the day of Pentecost came. That's why the Holy Spirit is now living, active with us, the Spirit of God. But Jesus is not sitting in the front row. If he was here, we would give him the stage, front row, whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted to sit. With Jesus, this is your house, your place. But he chose to go and be with the Father, and he's waiting. He's preparing a place for us, and he sent his Holy Spirit. So Jesus is not in the room, which means that not one of you, if you believe in Jesus, got a chance to touch his side. Not one of you got a chance to see his hands, which means, guess who you are? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's me. Isn't that encouraging? That's you. You are blessed. He is saying to you, blessed are you who believed in me, but you haven't seen me. You haven't shaken my hand. Oh, but I'm ready for that handshake in heaven. It's going to be a firm one, one of those good ones. You know what I'm talking about, older men in the house. You shake a hand with a young man, and you can judge a lot by their handshake. Just letting you know, future interviews for jobs, get ready for that handshake. Come in firm, strong, but don't overpower. You know what I'm talking about. My grandpa told me, hold steady, but if the older man goes in for the, just, all right, give a little bit. It's honor, respect. Don't you try to dominate the older man. That's not going to go well for you. Am I right? Come on, teach you a little culture here. But I wanna shake his hand, because you know what? I wanna look at Jesus. I wanna shake his hand. I don't know if I'm gonna get to do that, but that's what I'm asking for. Just a handshake. That's all it is. I don't need much. I don't need a big house. Give me a tiny house. Just with gold, you know. And lots of bread. I like bread. Tiny house, gold, bread, handshake. Simple. It's all I want. But I want to encourage you guys. You're here this morning. You need to be encouraged. You need to hear that word. You are blessed. You are blessed because you have believed and not seen. The last thing we'll read here, verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. I mean, that's just awesome. How many? I don't know, but it's a lot. It's like, man, he was just, there's things we don't even know about. Jesus is not limited to what is recorded. There's more. Ooh, I wonder what, I don't know what it is. Good. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I want to invite the band up this morning. I'm going to have you guys go and stand, church. Let's stand. Kiddos, let's stand to our feet. We're about to wrap it up here. I'm going to have some of our life group leaders and some of our staff, y'all can just come forward and just be available up here on the left and the right. But as I was praying through this morning and saying, God, what do you want this morning for us? Like, what are we going for? I really sensed the Lord say, number one, you've got to encourage the church. Those in this room that have already put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. And he's saying, well done. He's saying, you believed in me without getting to shake my hand. You believed in me without getting to break bread with me. You are blessed. But he's also speaking to those in the church, maybe feel a bit like Thomas. Man, I just want to see it. I'm not even completely doubting. I need a little more evidence. I need something, God. Would you do something? So whether you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I am blessed. I am encouraged by that. These guys are available to pray for you, whatever you need, because you've already believed Jesus. You said, hey, I believe he's a Jesus of breakthrough. I believe that's who he is. Let them come and let's pray for breakthrough in your life. Ashley had a word Friday night. We shared it just about God's in the waiting. He's in the timing. He's in the timing of things. This weekend, I mean, Saturday is a lot of waiting, right? But he's in the timing. So if you're here and you just need someone to pray for you, come on up. But specifically, if anyone's in the room and you're saying, you know what? I got a little Thomas in me. Like, I need something. I want to believe. I'm ready. I want it. But Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need a sign, a wonder, something in my life. We're here for you. We want that for you too. We want to believe that God will honor that request. Just as Thomas asked for it, and he got it. I want to believe that God would do that for you this morning. So that's what I want to pray for this morning. Kiddos, you're welcome to come and get prayer. If you want to come up and get prayer, kiddos, I'd love for you to come. Just bring your mom or dad or aunt, uncle, or grandpa, whoever you're with. Bring them with you and come get prayer. I would love to see kids getting prayed over. We would love to pray over you. It'd be awesome, all right? But come on up. If you're here and you're saying, hey, I need a little more. I need Jesus this morning. I need him to reveal himself in a new way. I want you to come. So, Lord, we thank you. Oh, Lord, come this morning. Come, Spirit of God. Come and give us breakthrough, Lord. Come and reveal to us, Lord, what are we needing? Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we're skeptical. You know where we have hesitation. That's okay. Jesus, come and meet us in that place. Thomas was hungry. He just needed a little more. Lord, come and bring the more this morning. Lord, come, if there's any child in this house that's doubting, any child that's saying, I want to know Jesus, come on, we want to pray with you. Any adult in this house saying, man, I just need a little more. I need a sign. I need something. Come. Come, Lord, come. Be the God of breakthrough this morning. Come and meet us in this place. Let us be blessed by believing in your name so we can experience the resurrected eternal life, the new covenant that goes on forever and ever with no end. Lord, we trust you. We love you. Come. Minister to our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just come on forward as you see fit. Come on, let someone pray for you. Come on up.